Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Going through the book of Ephesians, which I said last week has been like a Grand Canyon of the Bible. It's like the Grand Canyon. We went quite a few years ago, and we were coming up to a ledge, and we had no idea. As soon as we looked over the ledge, it was like, whoa! And that's what I feel like Ephesians has been. As I've delved into it, the book of Ephesians has been powerful. We're going to read through in chapter 4. We're in chapter 4 right now. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Just like it's been said this morning already. William said it. I think Troy. This is why I say, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascend mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become a mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we may grow to become in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, or those away from God, in the futility of their thinking. They were darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. This is powerful. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they were full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. So we don't work for a living, we work for a giving. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It's interesting to me that it says right here, what grieves the Holy Spirit in our life? If we really want the presence of the Lord and really want to hear his voice and walk with him, it says right here, what grieves the Holy Spirit? When we talk and we say things that don't minister grace to people. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. As we've been going through with the book of Ephesians, of course, before this, now in 4 now, he's starting to talk about the outward behaviors. And it's important that you understand what he said in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, because he's telling you everything that God did when he made you a new creature, that you're chosen, that you're holy, that you're adopted, that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, that he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, that everything you need in this life, God has done it for you in Christ. And so he says, so because of that, because the Father had a plan before the foundation of the world, Jesus came and executed that plan. The Holy Spirit came to reveal to you that plan. Now, you walk in this. Now he's going to talk about the next 3 chapters, 4, 5, and 6. What does it look like because of what Jesus has done for us before the foundation of the world? So please, if you missed Ephesians, when we're talking about Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, AJ is going to be getting a podcast on our website where you can go back and listen to those. Go open up Ephesians and just slowly read through it and just grasp what he's done for you and let that sink down in you. It'll change the way you will be transformed by renewing our mind. The way you always saw yourself because of people that your family put on a certain, you know, image on you or your friends or whatever, it will begin to change and you'll be transformed as you start to see yourself the way God sees you. The Word of God is powerful. And we are not going to walk in what God has if we are not meditating, taking hold, reading these words, and let him speak to us. Because he will just, he'll put his finger on things in your life that he's wanting you to, fears that you've had. He's going to say, okay, let me have that. And as he brings illumination in our life and shows us, even though we've been one way all of our life, I'm telling you, one touch from God can change everything. So please, study Ephesians. You will not be sorry. It's foundation to our identity. Because before we start to talk about behavior, the foundation must be laid. Because otherwise, that's where legalism comes in, where they're trying to change you from the outside in. You have to look a certain way, but you don't know that God doesn't love you anymore because you lay down behaviors or you change things. No, he loves you. He loves you, and he knows everything about you. So it's so easy in this world where we're used to a performance-type love. We have to perform or we're not worthy. We have to perform or we're not enough. We have to perform. That's the world's way. It's a conditional love. So God wants to establish right off the bat, you are loved, you are chosen, you are called out, you are adopted, you are mine, you are my beloved. You are holy and without blame. All of this, why? Because we're in Christ. When he sees you, he sees Jesus. Amen. So it's important that we have that foundation. Because without it, we might have a form of godliness, but we're denying the power thereof. What is the power? The love of God that casts out all fear. We experience that power in his love. And it takes care of fear in our life because we start to put our life more and more into his hands and say, Jesus, I give you my life. As he put his finger on areas where we're just holding back. I said before, when I was 12, my parents were fighting there and they eventually got divorced. But I saw a little paper clipping under my dad's cigarettes in the bathroom that said, apartments for rent, and I physically felt something happen to my heart. It hardened. And I realize now what I did, I made an inner vow at that time, said, you cannot trust people who are supposed to take care of you to take care of you. You have to take care of yourself. It was an inner vow. I was not even conscious of that. But from that point on, I started going toward other people that had that same spirit of rejection, had made that same vow, had that same armor on. So then I got saved, and God began to say, okay. He started to unveil. He's still unveiling that armor. I don't think we'll ever arrive. There's always things as we're walking with God that he's going to show us, okay, can you give this to me? Rooms in our heart that we've locked tight because we got hurt so deeply and made a vow that nobody, I will never get that vulnerable again. And so we live in a prison. So we can't love and be loved because we are holding back. We have armor on. So God is wanting us to wear his armor, not our armor, which is in Ephesians 6, which we will get to. I don't know when, though. At the rate we're going, it might be next year sometime. So he says, what's it mean to lead a life worthy of your calling? To live in a manner worthy of your calling? Because he's done all these things for you, what does it look like? Like a policeman. Here's an example. Here, they're calling. And as a policeman is supposed to abide by the law. Of course, we all are, but especially a policeman. So he lives worthy of that profession. He doesn't steal or cheat. He upholds the law. A doctor, to live a life worthy of his profession, he'll heal the sick. He cares for those who are ill. He seeks to make them well. A farmer, what's it look like if a farmer is living a life worthy of his profession? He tills the soil, produces food for the crop or for people. It's a task that he's been gifted to accomplish. As a Christian, he lists some characteristics, what it looks like to walk worthy of your calling. And he starts out, first of all, humility. That's the first thing he says when we find it. There we go. Oh, I'm not seeing it. There we go. In all humility, be humble, be gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. How many of you know that doesn't really usually come natural for most of us? I mean, pride is the sin that got Lucifer cast out of heaven. It's the sin, really, that got Adam and Eve cast out of the garden. Pride is at the root of all sin. And he says we're to be humble. This is how we walk worthy. As Christians, that's the number one thing, he says. Why? All for the purpose of unity in the body. Since we are the body of Christ, he is the head. We are one, but we have to be one in our attitudes toward each other. Here's some questions to ask yourself and evaluate how you're doing in walking worthy in humility and in gentleness and in patience. So how do you react when someone takes your parking spot? You know, when you're at the mall and you see a spot and you're going over for it, and right before you get there, someone, phit! What happens on the inside of you? That's a good barometer. Oh. Okay, what about when the internet is really slow? How do you respond to critics? Haters gonna hate, but you don't have to hate them back. In all humility and gentleness. What do you tell yourself when you make a mistake? For many of you, it's really unhealthy. You can range from, oh, I am so stupid, to, well, I never make mistakes. Other people do that. Neither is good. So how do you react when someone overfills the trash and doesn't take it out? Just keep piling it on. Let it fall. See, it's little things like this that it's good to just pay attention to and even write it down. Judgments that we have in our mind. It goes against walking worthy of our calling. These little things that will show us that if we will just not pretend and just stuff and act like, if we will take these things to God and say, oh God, help me to be humble and patient and walk worthy of the calling. How about returning shopping carts? Or I know one. This is really good. Sometimes Steve just puts me to shame with this because we'll be shopping or something in a grocery store and I say, oh, we decided we don't want something. I just want to put it on a shelf anywhere. Steve says, he takes it back where it goes. He's so much nicer than I am. But yeah, little things like that make a big difference in the spirit. Gentleness. Now, this does not come naturally for me, if you haven't noticed. I'm an 8 on the Enneagram. Anybody know about the Enneagram? Oh, man, it's so revealing. But I was born more kind of aggressive, you didn't notice, in nature, and pretty straightforward and blunt. I mean, God made me that way. But you know what? Your strength can be your demise. We don't be careful. Your strengths, gifts that God gave you can destroy you. Look at Samson. But sometimes, I need to allow the Holy Spirit to gentle my bluntness. And if I'm not in the Spirit, if I don't take time just to sit, receive His love, I can do some damage. Needs to be tempered with the gentleness of Christ. Because, you know, Jesus was a lion when he needed to be a lion, and he was a lamb when he needed to be a lamb. Because he was always listening to his Father. He was always in tune with what the Father wanted in the heart of the Father. And I want to be in tune like that because we have that same spirit. We can be. You can have as much of Jesus as you want. You can have as much of the fruit. Actually, it's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. He touches one, he touches them all. But it's going to take some slowing down and getting quiet. You know, I can get on a roll. That's when it gets really bad. When I get on a roll. Getting things done. Oh, I'm feeling good about my production. And then that's when pride comes in. Patience. This is something, I know I'm really patient when it comes to little kids, but when it comes to adults sometimes, especially if I'm on a roll, and if you're slower than me, I can be driven. I can be a slave driver. I've been on a roll all day, and I have that mindset, you know, and I come home, and Steve and I are going to go somewhere. We get in the car, and Steve is just so peaceful, and it's like, come on. And then he lets everybody get in front of him, you know. It's like, not a good time to be nice. I'm in a hurry. How many of you have these little buttons that can be pushed from time to time? Yeah, well, God knew what he was doing when he gave you Steve. And whether Steve believes it or not, we complement each other. The Holy Spirit. He will balance us out, but we have to slow down, y'all, to get to know God, to allow the fruit to develop in our life. We have to be with Jesus. It says, they called unto him whom he would, that they would be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. I thought that was interesting. First, he called them to be with him, just to be with him. And if they did that, he might send them forth to preach. Because they'd be full of a real Jesus. So, slowing down. But unity is not about agreement. If our unity is based on agreement, then when we do disagree, somebody has to leave. Denominations are formed around agreement. Families are formed around fathers and mothers. What kind of a church do you want to have? The Bible teaches in Corinthians 4:15 that we have countless instructors or teachers, but not many fathers. And Paul said, for I became a father to you in Christ Jesus through the gospel. A few differences from fathers and mothers and teachers. Teachers disseminate information. Fathers pour out their lives. Teachers have intellectual connections with their students. Fathers and mothers have heart connections with their children. A family can come together at Thanksgiving. We can have Republican mom and dad, Democratic daughter, Libertarian son, and they still have a great Thanksgiving dinner meal together because they are a family. The invitation for dinner is not based on agreement. I mean, there are some essentials in the body of Christ, the blood of Jesus, the virgin birth, but most of the things that we squabble about have nothing to do with the essentials. Many times we major on the minors. I mean, churches have been split because of the color carpet they put in. Not walking worthy of our calling. We have people that will fight to the death over some pet doctrine. And it's not worth taking a bullet over. It's not worth dishonoring a member in the body of Christ so that we can prove that we're right. So I don't want to build something here that's held together because we all agree all of the time. We'll never all agree all the time. We want, because that's just creating a political system. We are a family where we belong. In a political system, you have to agree. I'd rather be built around fathers and mothers, around those that carry something secure and solid in the midst of conflict and crisis. We don't have to understand everything that's going on, but the Prince of Peace lives amongst us. When we lived in Roswell, New Mexico, it was a long way from our folks and the grandparents, and there was a lady named Grandma Doris who kind of we adopted as our grandma, and she adopted us. But she had us over for dinner one time, and she comes out, and she says to the kids, okay, you have to eat all of your dessert, or you don't get any dinner. And the kids looked at us like, wait, that's not the rule at our house. But they immediately looked at the father and the mother. Do we want to build, immediately look? Sounds like a good rule to me, though. You can tell. But Matthew 12, this really hit me. I'm going to get to that. Talking about unity in the body. Really, Ephesians 4 is about unity and what it looks like, what we have to do to have unity and not grieve the Holy Spirit. And a lot of it is what we say with our mouth. Are we gossiping? Or when we have a problem, do we go and we talk to everybody else about it except the person that we're supposed to have the problem with? That's the way you do things in the body of Christ, in the new family of God. I know maybe that wasn't the way you did it when you in your family of origin, but you're not in that anymore. You're in a new family, and there's new rules, just like the dessert thing. So we have to abide by the rules if we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, if we want to walk in what God is calling us to walk in. So Matthew 12:28. Jesus says, the Pharisees were trying to get Jesus on something like always, just nitpicking, looking. He said, but if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. I want to remind you, Jesus could do no ministry of himself. He emptied himself. And then he stood before humanity in Luke 4, and he gave his inaugural address when he announced to all, and this has to do with all ministry. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach good news, release captives, open blind eyes. But the emphasis has to remain. It was the Spirit of God upon him. Now, all ministry of Jesus has that one dominating focus. That's the Spirit of God enabling us to do it. We all have gifts. When you get saved, he gives us gifts. We all have different gifts. But the Spirit of God gave Jesus the keys. And the key, what is that? Seeing, the key was seeing what the Father was doing and doing that. He said, I do nothing except what I see the Father. And that's how we're going to walk in the gifts by the Spirit of God that he's put within each and every one of you. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come. And then he goes on to say, he who is with me, anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. Another version in which I like better, he says, he who is against me He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. And I do believe that the ministry of the Spirit of God has a focus, and it will be to gather people, or it'll scatter. What Jesus is saying is he draws all ministry and focuses it on gathering people to Christ. It has to be this focus, or it will eventually divide. He said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come. And he just illustrated all ministry. All ministry is bringing God's dominion into a collision course with the spirit of darkness. The Spirit of God comes, darkness goes. Light shines in the darkness. When you, no matter how dark it is, if you light a candle or a match, there it is. And then he moves on next. He says, if you're not gathering, you're scattering. That's a sobering point. Any truth, when it's emphasized out of God's order, will scatter. All truth has a sequence. We can debate all day long about, okay, do we reign in Christ, or is it we become the servant of all? There's truths that we can debate on in the body of Christ. Oh, are we post-trib, mid-trib? We can debate on issues or any truth, anything that you commit to. It can be elevated with a primary focus, but it's supposed to be gathering people to Christ is our primary focus, or it will divide. Any truth elevated about its proper place will ultimately scatter. And it tends to be like whatever gifting or whatever grace God's put within you, it seems like you just think that's all there is. You know, it's all about worship. It's all about prophecy. It's all about healing. See, that can divide in the body of Christ if we don't have the right focus. We have to watch it. I've seen people withdraw from the life of Christ saying that they really felt like God was dealing with me about, it's all about my family. But God will never take you where your family is the most important, more than him. I'm not saying about church. I'm talking about your relationship with God, your time with him. Why? Because if your family is more important than God, you will have inferior love for your family. God has to be first in our life. Receiving his love. We're not capable of loving without receiving his love for ourselves, for our children, for our friends, for our community. Surely we've received freely. We can give, but we must first receive. That's why Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, talking about all that you've received. Okay, now walk in this, he said. Just the way it works. We put God first. You're more capable of loving your family correctly. But when you elevate this truth, you know, I'm devoted to my husband. I'm devoted to my kids and my grandkids. But I know they have to have a proper place. Well, Jesus said so himself. He said, unless you hate mother, brother, sister, in comparison to me, you're not worthy of me. And he used, it's like, hate? Come on. Well, in comparison. It'll seem like hate. If we love God, we will have what our family needs. We can love them well. But if we elevate that truth, it will scatter. Healing can be elevated out of a proper place. The goal is to show the love of Christ, because the love of Christ gathers. Any ministry that's focused unto itself will scatter. You're called to youth, that's awesome, but that's not all there is. It's all to gather to Christ. If you're called to children, whatever you're called to worship, we all have different giftings for one focus, for one purpose, to gather to Christ. Every single gift, every voice, every talent, every message is all to gather to Christ. Some people just have too much need to be right. To win the argument. Probably why we have all these denominations. To win the debate. And they'll sacrifice the ultimate purpose for existence on the planet. We can be on either ends of truth, you know. Like truth, it can sometimes seem paradoxical. Labor to enter into rest. I mean, mercy and truth. that we resist brothers and sisters for our cause, we eventually cause a divide. To lay down the need to be right, lay down the need to be applauded, and that's called humility. And it's so important. That's the first thing he says. You walk worthy of the calling because God has done all of this. It's by grace you've been saved, not that of yourself. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. So walk worthy of your calling in all humility. The way up with God is down. Why? It doesn't mean we grovel on the ground and beat up. No, He told you everything, how he delights in you. He dances over you. You're chosen. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness now. Because of that, walk in humility and love and patience with your brothers and your sisters. True humility is the opposite of pride. Pride is the root of all sin. Doesn't mean we compromise truth. The overall purpose for our existence on the planet is to gather a harvest to our Father. And don't ever let that be sacrificed to be doctrinally correct. Such a big deal. I put a sticky note in my car. My purpose is to gather to the Father, to walk in all humility and gentleness and patience. Not so your vision can be fulfilled, but to gather. The devil's MO, or mode of operation, is always to scatter, to divide and conquer. People, especially in the church, it seems like, of course, as you look back, as Jesus walked through, you know, he was a lion when he needed to be a lion, a lamb. Most of the time when he was a lion, it was with the Pharisees, those self-righteous, pompous, thought they knew it all and were correct. But people blow out other people's candles thinking it will make theirs brighter. It won't. Sometimes in church you see people playing spiritual king of the mountain. Now, I'm not saying here, but I'm talking about in general, the church world. I don't feel that here. Not that we all don't have to deal with our pride. We all got it. Every time we wake up, we got to deal with our pride. We said, today I'm going to put on the coat. You know, it's something we have to put on, the clothe ourselves with humility. Jesus said, come, follow me, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, then you'll find rest for your soul. Are you anxious? Are you wrought up? Are you fearful? Put on humility. Romans says, so since we find ourselves fashioned unto all these excellently formed and marvelous functioning parts in the body, Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be who we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something that we aren't. That is letting every chain fall. That is freedom. Just be who you is, because if you ain't who you is who you ain't. Get that? Not correct English for all you English. Sorry, Lindsay. The kingdom of God. We don't rise higher by pushing other people down, inwardly or outwardly. As we focus on behaviors in chapters 4, 5, and 6, I want to reinstate now, this is not about behavior modification. It's about being transformed and what's on the inside that God did in Christ. When you gave your heart to Jesus and you were baptized into the Holy by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, got been given a new nature. Now he's saying, now work that out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Humble yourself. The hardest people that is to humble yourself is your own spouse. Why is it so hard to say, oh, I'm sorry? You know, I said, well, Steve and I were having a discussion a while back. It was, but I just said, I was just being stupid, you know. And I said, oh, honey, and this really just, I realized, I just one thing for me to say, I'm sorry, sorry. Another thing for say, honey, I am sorry, would you forgive me? There's another level of humility with that. to really humble ourselves, to be really vulnerable and own our own stuff. You know what you can't tolerate in others? God just located in you. Ugh, I hate that. Because, like, no way. Paul's desire is found in 1 through 6. He says, walk in unity. Because there's often dissension. In fact, a lot of his letters that he was addressing in the epistles, he was talking about a problem in the church where it rose up false doctrine or divisions in much of his epistles. In fact, Ephesians is the only book that he's not addressing a problem. But if you understand who you are in Christ, you realize you've been given a calling and everyone is important. Their placement is so important in the body of Christ. We need each other to fulfill the great commission, which is to gather those to our Father. We all have a place. We've all been given an office. In Romans 12, you can read about those. It expounds in more detail. But it says also, don't be so well adjusted to the culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize that what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Like, humble yourself. You know, how many of you know when you're in a fight with your spouse or somebody or something, if pride, if you got pride, if you don't just right away just say no and humble yourself, pride gets a hold of you. And it feels like you cannot humble yourself. It gets a hold of your flesh, especially if all of your life you've never learned or never saw it modeled to apologize or to even appreciate and say appreciations to other people. If that wasn't something in your upbringing, it's hard. But all that is about humbling yourself, esteeming others better than yourself, and letting them know that. But he goes on to talk about the body, everyone. The ear cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand can't say to the heart, to the liver, the kidney. God doesn't love one part of the body more than another. In fact, God says he gives more abundant honor to the parts that seem less honorable. Our attitude and our calling should be gentleness, humility, patience toward other people. When we look at someone, many times we judge other people according to our own vulnerabilities or our own tendency of shame. You automatically just will judge other people because of your own shame. You see, a lot of times we're not even aware of really what's going on. We're just so used to judging and pointing instead of saying, wait, ooh, ooh. Now, if you have some road rage, you stop and go, wow, God, that really wasn't their fault. What is this? So we need to be aware. We need to pay attention. And you can't pay attention to what's going on inside if you're so in such a hurry, so busy, so fast-paced, and don't take time just to be with Jesus and let him reveal and say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Take some time. Create some space in your life to seek first the kingdom of God, to let God really be first. Coming to church is not enough. If you want to love your family with God's love, you have to be with Jesus. But we all have a different calling. We all have a different, but it's every person in placement in the body.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.